All right, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to dive in here. 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been teaching on Wednesday nights on how we can detect false teachers, and we've actually gotten into the nitty-gritty of it. We talked about the importance of sound doctrine. We talked about how that false teachers are a real and present threat. We talked about how to rightly divide the Word, and I gave you 4 weeks on how to rightly divide. Now we're actually getting into the marks of false teachers from 2 Peter chapter 2. And in chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So holy men of God were speaking God's word, but then he turns around in chapter 2, verse 1, and he says, "But there were false prophets also among the people." So he had true prophets and false prophets. He said, "Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." You remember I told you, a false prophet says, "I have a new word from the Lord." You know, a new word besides God's word. I have a new word, a false prophet. I'm prophesying. I got a new word. And to give you an example of that, this was on my desk. I think, did you put that on my desk? You did? Thanks for putting that on my desk. I guess it was just a mass mailer and it came in. Daniel J. Proctor here at Daytona Beach Baptist Church. And this is a 14th annual Apostles and Prophets Conference. Yeah. And so they're going to have all the apostles and prophets talking at this conference. They wanted Apostle Dan to come. No, I'm just kidding. They do want me to go, but not as an... They want me to go and hear all the apostles and prophets. Well, you folks, you understand. I mean, they got them listening. Apostle Buddy Crum. Prophet Mary Crum. You imagine that? An apostle and a prophet in the same family. And, you know, folks, listen. This is ridiculous. It says back here on the back. It says, "What would your life be like if you heard a prophetic word from him and moved on it in faith?" Come on in, Rich. You want to come in? Yeah, come on in. Y'all don't mind Rich coming in, do you? All right, okay. Okay. If a prophetic word from him and then you moved on in faith... Question for you. Can we add... Now, this is a question from, I think, last week. Can we add or can we take away from prophecy? Yes or no? No. Are there any prophets today? No, there are none. Because the Bible said, this is the words of the prophecy of this book, speaking of Revelation. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it. Prophecy is sealed. It's done. It's finished, complete. There are no prophets today. Okay? There are no apostles today. In order to be an apostle, one of the qualifications was you had to have personally seen and witnessed the resurrected Jesus Christ bodily. You had to have seen him. He's not appearing that way to people anymore. There are no apostles today. There are no prophets. There are no apostles. So I will not be going to this conference, okay? I will not be going to that. Not going to waste my time. So Peter said there's going to be false teachers among you, even as there were false prophets among them. What does a false teacher look like, according to 2 Corinthians 11? What's a false teacher look like? If a false teacher, a false prophet, a false apostle, how are they going to appear? As what? They're going to appear spiritual. They're going to appear as an angel, an angel of light, somebody said. What'd you say? A minister of righteousness, okay? A minister of righteousness. That's right. The Bible warns us that they're going to appear true. So how do we detect them? Look in your handout, okay? And notice the first mark of false teachers. We spent a whole week on this. They reject the sufficiency of Christ what? Christ's work. Jesus died, was buried, and what? Rose again. Is it a finished and complete work? We are complete in Christ. That's right. And but a false prophet or teacher, they reject that. They don't believe we're complete in Christ. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to have this experience and that experience. And so they reject that. They believe you have to do this and that to be saved. it's not just by grace through faith. They always add something to it. All right, number two, the second mark of false teachers, which we spent a whole week on, they do not accept God's Word as the final and ultimate what? Authority. That's right. Folks, can we add to or take away from the book? No. The law is done. Prophecy is done. Church age doctrine is done. We saw all that and we studied that out. The third mark of false teachers is that they may attract big crowds and have many followers. Now, we said during that particular lesson, doesn't necessarily mean that if someone has a big church that they're a false teacher. That doesn't mean that at all. But Peter makes a special point in verse 2, if you'll look at it with me, of saying, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways." So he makes a point of telling us, look, you know, they may appear outwardly blessed. They may have a lot of followers. They may have a lot of people that are behind them. You know, and so God makes it a special point to warn us of that. So we can't be naive and we can't be simple-minded and say, oh, well, they got beautiful buildings and nice property and lots of people, so that church must be right. I mean, look how God's blessing. Okay, we can't just be overly simplistic that way and think, well, just because they have this and that and they got a big crowd, then it must be of God. No, false teachers will many times garner a big crowd. In fact, you remember what we said last week? See if you can remember this. People, by and large, are much more apt to believe a what than the truth? They're much more apt to believe a lie than they are to believe the truth. And if you look down at verse 3 in our text, it says, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words." And I don't know if anybody remembers what that word feigned means, but it means plastic. It's from the word we get plastic. Plastic's very mold. You know, you can take it's pliable. You can take plastic and kind of do whatever you want with it. You know, you got plastic this and plastic that, and you just shape it and mold it. Well, that's what they do. They just kind of shape and they mold their words to appeal to people. And we said they may use our vocabulary, but they don't use our dictionary. You know, they used words like saved. They used words like born again. False teachers will use phrases like receiving Jesus. They'll talk about preaching the gospel. Folks, listen, Daytona Beach Baptist Church, listen to me. You've got to be careful. You have to be discerning. Just because somebody has a Bible under their arm and they're talking about the gospel and they're talking about receiving Jesus and salvation does not mean that they are of God. Just because they've got a big crowd on TV does not mean that it's an acceptable thing to God. Okay? In the last days, the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 that people in the last days are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so in the last days, the Bible teaches that people will not be interested in truth, but rather they'll be turned to fables. They'll be turned to stories and anecdotes and self-help and warm and fuzzy things and all these things. And so Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Just stick with the Word of God. And last week we talked about the fact that the crowd can be wrong. Just because a crowd of people is following something doesn't mean it's right. The crowd can be wrong. The 12 spies that went to spy out Canaan, how many of them were bad? 10 of the 12 were bad. Only 2 of them by faith believed God's Word. That's right. And the Bible says, follow not a multitude to do evil. So, you know, many times a multitude will do evil. God says, don't go with the crowd. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. And, of course, the best illustration of the crowd being wrong is when the mob cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And so we need to be careful of that. Now let me give you the fourth mark tonight. Let's kind of get into some new territory here. The fourth mark of false teachers is that they are full of greed. They are full of greed. Okay? I want you to look with me, please, at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, okay, everybody look at it with me. Okay, I want you to notice the first three words. It says, and through what? Covetousness. Man, they are coveting. They are very greedy, very covetous. It says, talking about these false teachers, let's look at it. And through covetousness shall they, with feign, plastic words, notice the next phrase. Well, that's interesting right there. Make merchandise of you. Whew. Isn't that something, Brother Larry? The Bible says they're going to make merchandise. I looked up that phrase, make merchandise, and you know what it said? Exploit. Exploit. The Bible says that they are going to make merchandise. They are going to exploit people. Now, what is Peter saying here? Peter is teaching us here, church, that these false teachers are really into making money. And they won't think twice about using the Bible and Jesus and Christianity to make it. They won't think twice about it. Folks, in the 21st century America, I am very fearful that in America today, when I say we, I'm not speaking of our church as much as I'm just talking about we in general, Christians, you know, those who claim the name of Christ, I'm afraid that we've really commercialized Christianity. We have commercialized Christianity. We live in a free market society. That's a wonderful thing. Okay, and we're all thankful for that. But I think that one of the pitfalls of this has been that people have learned in the last 25 years that Jesus is a moneymaker. And that Christianity is a moneymaker. And it breaks my heart when I see these guys on TV and they want to bless your heart and they want to sell you this video and be a blessing to you. And you can have this video that'll bless your heart for only $25, for only $30. How much money do you think they have in that video? You know? How much money do you think they have in that little DVD? You know? I mean, it just breaks my heart. And you know, you got, today you've got Christian artists, you know, selling CDs for $15 and $16. Let us bless your heart for $15. We'll give you this CD. You got preachers and teachers that are making mega huge bucks selling books, selling. I heard one Christian group one time, they had had a real popular song. And this was a gospel group. And they said, we put the swimming pool in with this song. And then they said, you know, with this next one, it was like the sequel to that song. With this one, we're going to, I forget what they said they were going to do. But you got Christian this and Christian that and Christian T-shirts and Christian bumper stickers and Christian videos and Christian DVDs and Christian... Do you think people are making money off that stuff? You got preachers and they take Bible principles and then package them and sell them. It's God's principles, you know. They're just kind of packaging them up nice and neat and then selling them. You know, I was recently at a conference and one of the preachers was talking about, yeah, we've got this new website and it's got, you know, all these sermons on there and all this stuff. And I thought, well, that's nice. That's a good resource. And then the assistant pastor said, and we'll give all of you preachers that are here a $10 voucher so that you can try it out. I didn't even bother to go get my voucher. You know, I was at a conference a couple years ago, And the one that was leading that conference, and man, if I said his name, you'd know his name. And I was at this conference, and he was talking about. He said, I've got every message on this website that I've ever preached for the last 20 years, you know. And I thought, well, man, you know what? I thought that's nice, because I was a little leery of this guy anyway. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I was wrong, man. That's really nice. He's got all, you know, he's going to just make that as a resource to preachers, to be a blessing to preachers, and they can go on there and research subjects and stuff. That's nice, you know, that's really great. And so then I get home and I go to the website. It's like $8 for a cassette tape of it. It's like if you even just want to print a transcript of the message, it's $4. And, you know, it just broke my heart. And I thought, you know, I thought, what does God think of all this? You know, what does God think of it? Do you think that's a valid question, yes or no? Is that a valid question? What does God think of all this? What does God think of? As God looks down from heaven, what does He think of it? You know, God gripped my heart about this years ago. And that's why on the little audio tape things, I don't know if there's one here or not, but on our little audio tape ministry, you know, it's donation. It's donation. And you know what's neat about that is that Rich Costanza recently researched that out. And what came in and what we spent was within how much? Like $50? You're talking about several thousand dollars that came in and went out. And what came in and what went out was within $50 of each other. God provides. That's right, Jan. God provides. When we go by faith, God provides. Man, you got groups out there. Yeah, we'll come and bless your heart at your church. And I'm not kidding you. I'm serious. $5,000 minimum. You got a guarantee is $5,000 and we'll come sing for you. We'll come bless the heart. We'll bless your socks off for $5,000. Christian artists. You know what? I just wonder, what does God up in heaven think of all this today? You know, what does He think? What do people, you know, our brothers in these communist countries, I wonder what they think of that. I wonder what they think of that. You know, I want you to take your Bible and, first let's go to your handout, and I want to show you a couple statements here, and then we're going to look up some scriptures. It says, Jesus and His apostles were not affluent and wealthy men. And it says, God met their needs as they ministered to others. I want you to go to Matthew chapter number 10, if you would. And I want to take you to some scriptures here that just to provoke your thinking here a little bit on this subject. Matthew chapter 10. One of the goals that we're trying to do this summer is get all my Bible studies, like these Wednesday nights where we have handouts, and we're trying to get them all on DaytonaBeachBaptist.com. And, you know, and it's free. As I just want that to be a resource for preachers or other Christians. I had somebody come up to me that visited the church for a couple weeks, and then they're going back up north, and they're like, man, I wish I had that whole series on false teachers. Man, we've enjoyed that. And I'm like, hey, hopefully by the end of the summer it'll be on the internet. You can go download the whole thing and have it. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. It's free. Just, you know. I mean, it's just, to me that's just the way it should be. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 8. Jesus is sending the 12 disciples out. And in Matthew 10:8, look what He said. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received. What's the next words? Freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, God will meet your needs. People are going to provide you what you need. People are going to lodge you. People that really care about what you're doing, I'll send them in your path to meet your needs. People will give you a love offering so that you can buy food. I will meet your needs. Don't worry about that. He said, I will meet your needs. And he said, freely you have received, freely give. You know, I want you to take your Bible and go to, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. Okay? And I want to show you how the Apostle Paul was such a really good example of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, man, the Apostle Paul was such a gifted individual. Like I told you a couple weeks ago, if anybody had a new word from God, it was Paul. Paul got all this church age doctrine, man, and I mean all this age of grace stuff that was just unbelievable. And if anybody had truly new stuff that he could have marketed, it was Paul. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And notice what he says there. He says in verse 17, "For if I do this thing willingly..." Well, let's go up to verse 16. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then?" This is the key, verse 18. "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ..." What's the next two words? "Without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Go over to 1 Thessalonians, okay? Just go forward a couple more books. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Huh, Pastor Larry? And he said the thing that thrilled his heart is that he could make it without charge. Look at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Paul traveled as a missionary. Go from churches and he go to city to city, win people to Christ, plant churches. And look at verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. "For you remember, brethren," notice, "our labor and travail. For laboring night and day." Did you see that? Laboring night and day. Because, why? Why was he working like this? The attitude here, he was a tent maker. So Paul was working with his hands. Notice, he said here, verse 9, "Because we would not be," what? "Chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." Go over to 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 3. Second Thessalonians 3:8. It says, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." I want you to look in your handout and notice it says there in Micah 3:11. This has to do now with Israel in the Old Testament, but there's good application here. He said here in Micah 3:11, "The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us." He's rebuking them for this. And he's saying, you know, that basically he's saying that these people are money hungry. They're doing, that word reward there means bribe. He said that the heads, the leaders, are judging for bribery. They're bribing people. And that word hire there, when he says the priests teach for hire, it means for payment, for wages. And you know, here's what I want you to get out of this, is that it, going back to what we said in 2 Peter, when he said there's going to be false teachers among you, and he said they are going to, with feigned words, make merchandise of you through covetousness. Listen, church, through covetousness, they are with feigned words going to make merchandise of you. And that's exactly what's going on. A false teacher is a promoter. constantly thinking up new gimmicks and tricks to persuade people to pad his pocket. I received this in the mail. And this is from St. Matthew's Churches. And what they did was, is they sent this out in the mail with a prayer rug, a little rug. And they put a little rug in there to make you feel indebted to them. Okay? They want you to send that rug back. So they let it be known, look, we're sending you this rug, but we want it back. And we want you to share your prayer request with us and pray about sowing a seed gift to the Lord's work. Send back the rug and seed a gift to them. And it goes on here, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on. It's sad, you know. You are about to enter the Holy Spirit of God right here in your home. Take this prayer rug, go kneel down and do this with it. And, you know, it's almost like a little, you know, like a little magic lantern, you know. Rub the prayer rug, you know, and get what you want. Rub the prayer rug. And, you know, it's just ridiculous, you know. And he said, you know, would you like God's blessings on your home, your family, your finances? Say, yes, Lord Jesus, I do need your financial blessings upon me and my family's finances. And you know, this is what I'm talking about. False teachers are always up to something, you know, always selling something, always trying to make a buck off the Christians. And that is just such a dangerous thing. You know, the Bible says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. He says here, if after you, timing is important to God. The next 24 hours are very crucial for you. After you kneel on this church prayer rug or place it over your knees, place it in a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. He's just slide it under your side of your bed for tonight. You know, leave it there no longer than tonight only. Is this baloney or what? You know, I mean, this is what I'm talking. This is Exhibit A of what I'm trying to talk about. You know, and I mean, it's sad. It really is. It's just so sad what all's going on today in America. Now, if you go back, I want you to go back to 2 Peter, okay? And I want to show you something here. Who do false teachers prey on? Who do they prey on? Let's go back. 2 Peter chapter 2. All right, 2 Peter 2. And look at verse 14. He's still taught this whole chapter. He's talking about false teachers. And in verse 14, he says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. That's an important statement. Beguiling what? Unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. All right, in your handout, Who do they prey on? They prey on people who do not know their Bible. They prey on people who do not know their Bible. They beguile unstable souls. Unstable souls. They prey on people who do not know their Bible. And in your handout, it says, this is why it is so crucial that believers get rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. You've got to get rooted. You've got to get grounded. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, everybody turn over there with me. Ephesians 4. You know, Pastor Larry, doesn't it thrill your heart that we're able to provide Walk Through Bethlehem and do it free? Doesn't that thrill your heart, church? You know, I had a firm conviction when we started that 2.5 years ago. If we can't do it free, we won't do it. Period. If we can't finance this and offer it to the community, then we just won't do it. It's that simple. We'll wait until we save the money and then we'll do it. And there was a time in this church when we couldn't do it. Some of you that were here are laughing because you know. We know we didn't have anything. I mean, there wasn't money to do it. But praise the Lord, a couple years ago, God allowed us to be able to be in a position where we could do it. But until we were in a position where we could do it, we weren't going to do it until we could do it free. And we could do it without charge, as Paul said, without charge. I think that's important. Again, I just wonder, what does God think from heaven as He looks down and sees Jesus and the Bible and Christianity being commercialized? What does God think? Not what do I think. I mean, I could stand up here all day and tell you what I think. Brother Larry, I caught his ear the other day, and, you know, for about 30 minutes in the car, he's just going, yeah. I just was going on and on with him in the car telling him what I thought about it. You know, but my question is, what does God think about this thing? Look at Ephesians 4, verse 14. This is the people that they're going to go after, okay? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Not talking about literal children, spiritual children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. They're just waiting to deceive you. They're just lying in wait to deceive. Cunning craftiness, sleight of men. He said, look, church, you better get rooted, you better get grounded. Because if you don't get rooted and you don't get grounded, you're ripe for the picking. And that's why I got my two guys right here, Larry and Steve, who helped teach the discipleship, and we just finished 8 weeks of that. Many of you are here tonight that were in that. And that's to get you rooted and get you grounded. So that you can get in a place where you're not just tossed about. By the way, we're going to start a new discipleship series. It's the same one, but we're going to do it again. For those of you that would like to get in the discipleship course and work your way through that, we're going to start it up again the first Sunday of August. There'll be more about that Sunday that we're going to tell you about. But be thinking about that. And if some of you think you didn't get it the first time, then it's okay to take it again. Seriously, if you don't say, man, I just don't know if I got all that, then take it again. That's fine. We don't have any laws against that around here. You know, if you feel like I need to go through that course again, you know, that's fine. But you need to get rooted and you need to get grounded. It's so crucial. Go to 1 Timothy 6. All right, let's go over there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This will be the last thing I'll have you look up tonight. Okay, so everybody turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All right, and notice the principle here. Verse 9. First of all, verse 8 is we just need to be more content. The problem, the reason why you got people that are covetous and they're merchandising Christianity is the lack of contentment. You know, not walking by faith, not trusting God to meet your needs. And in verse 8, it says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Man, if you've got food, clothing, and shelter, you know, then he says, be content with that. Verse 9, but they that will be rich, okay, in other words, they are determined they're going to be rich. They fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the what, church? It's the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. All right, we're gonna stop there. We'll get into the fifth mark next week. But the fourth mark of false teachers from 2 Peter 2, Peter warns us that they are full of greed. Full of greed. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord.